Well, some questions for you this morning. Teacher, do you know who built the ark? Student, no. Teacher says, correct. Sunday school teacher says, what do you think the land flowing with milk and honey will be like? The student said, sticky. Let's pray. Father God, on this Easter Sunday, help us to join in together to celebrate your rising from the dead, rising into glory. And Lord, when you met with the disciples, you said, peace be with you. Lord, we want to receive your peace today. But you also breathed the Holy Spirit on the disciples, and we too need your Holy Spirit today. As we think about your word, what it means for us today, what it means for our world, what it means for us as we live in this strange and unprecedented time. In Jesus' name, Amen. There's no denying the last 12 months have been like no other any of us have ever experienced ever before in our lives. Never have we had to stay physically distanced. Physically distanced from family or friends, work colleagues. And loved ones over such an extended time. For introverts, it's been a blessing, and for extroverts, it's been a challenge. And for many of us, it's been a challenge to our hair as well, as you can see this morning. Never before have we been stuck in our homes. Never have so many experienced so much loneliness and disorientation. And then there are those who've been furloughed, maybe not knowing if they would have a job to go back to. We've not been able to be with family members who've had to go into hospital. And some have not been able to be with loved ones at the moment of death. Every person on the planet, rich, poor, developing world or developed world, every skin color, culture, and religious community has been affected in one way or another. We now have old words with new meanings like lockdown, shielding, self-isolation, test and trace, face masks, and social distancing. We've all had to adapt to new ways of doing things. And for us as Christians, we've had to learn to gather and worship in the most alien way imaginable. Prior to lockdown, the last place I would want to join for worship would be in front of a screen. It's just not what we see modeled in the Bible. In the Bible, God's people come together to worship and to hear from His word. The last 12 months have been like living in a foreign land for Christians. We've been kept away from each other. When God's people were taken into exile by the Babylonians, they were disconnected from Jerusalem, the very place where God was present in the Holy of Holies. In the book of Psalms, the writer put it this way: how can we sing the songs of the Lord while in a foreign land? Worship, discipleship, mission, and ministry has felt like singing a song in a foreign land. Right now, as I speak to you from my home, and as you participate through a screen, this still feels foreign to many of us. But for some, it will feel normal. If we feel our lives have been disrupted by the global pandemic, What about the disruption the birth, life, and death of Jesus caused 2,000 years ago? Here came a man who said he came to fulfill the story of his people. A man who claimed he could forgive sin, he could heal, he could restore humanity's relationship with the living God. We can only imagine the disorientation the disciples and the followers of Jesus were feeling as they saw Jesus hailed as a king at the beginning of that week, and then tried, tortured, and killed on a cross at the end. This man could raise people from the dead, but he could not save himself. If he was God, why did he not send legions of angels to rescue himself? One can only imagine the grief, shock, depression, and hopelessness the disciples felt over the Passover weekend. It would have felt like God had not just passed over, but had not turned up at all and had abandoned his son and his people. But as you read the story, you hear something happens that the disciples were not prepared for. Even though Jesus had given them many hints about his resurrection, they just didn't get it. On the first day of the week, we hear that as some of the women go to anoint Jesus' body for burial, they find that the stone that had covered the tomb had been rolled away and the tomb was empty. Mary Magdalene runs to see Simon and John to tell them, and they run to see for themselves, and they find the tomb empty, except for the strips of linen that had covered Jesus' body. And then we hear that Mary is greeted by two angels in white, and they ask her why she's crying. Mary says, "They have taken my Lord away, and I don't know where they've taken him." Mary then turns around, and there is Jesus. But Mary does not recognize him. She thinks he's a gardener. And he asks her, "Woman, why are you crying?" She asks, "Have you carried him away?" And Jesus says, "Mary." And she realizes it's Jesus, and she goes to tell the other disciples, "I have seen the Lord." Later that day, Jesus appears to the disciples, and he says, "Peace be with you." And he anoints them with the Holy Spirit. And we hear that Jesus appears to the disciples at other times, including a time when they are fishing back in Galilee. Mixed with the joy of seeing Jesus alive, the disciples must have been all over the place in their thoughts and feelings. That is why he says to them, "Peace be with you," and fills them with the Holy Spirit. As Christians, we believe the most important event in history is Jesus coming back to life again, and we call this resurrection. Unlike other people who have been raised from the dead, Jesus' resurrection is different because it is permanent, everlasting, and eternal. Just like the disciples, Mary Magdalene, and the other followers of Jesus, if we put our trust and faith in Jesus and choose to follow him, we too can have eternal life. We too can receive the promise of living a resurrected life of eternity with God, the Father, in a new heaven and a new earth. I wonder, in the past 12 months, have you asked yourself the question, did God send the coronavirus and the pandemic to the world? I don't believe he did. I believe the pandemic is a consequence of the brokenness of our world that came when Adam and Eve disobeyed God in the Garden of Eden. Part of the brokenness of the world is its relationship to God. When Adam and Eve walked about the Garden of Eden, they enjoyed God's presence with them and they felt no guilt or shame. When Eve and Adam chose to disobey God, sin came into the world and humanity was cut off from God's love and presence. When Jesus died on the cross, all our guilt and shame was taken by Jesus, so that our relationship with God was restored by the forgiveness of our sin. Can I ask you a question today? Have you chosen to follow Jesus? Do you know that your sins are forgiven? Do you know God's presence in your life? And are you sure that you will have eternal life? In the past 200 years, humanity has made advances in science, mathematics, engineering, literature, communication, culture and art that previous generations could never have dreamt of. With those advances comes prosperity, security, power and choice. When you have all of these, who needs faith in God? I spent the first 25 years of my life thinking I had no need of God, let alone Jesus Christ or the church. Surely humanity had all the answers I needed. Today, many in our world put their trust in human wisdom, philosophy, and science. We've heard our politicians say in the last 12 months with regard to the pandemic, we will follow the science. Look where human wisdom and the brokenness of the world have got us in the last year. There just has to be another way. And that person said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. That person was Jesus, the man who took all the world's brokenness on his shoulders, dies for our sake, and then on the third day brings resurrection and the offer of eternal life. That power of God is still at work today in the life of God's people. In the past,